Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey Filth, it's Ben here jumping in at the start of the episode to firstly wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays, and also to let you know that our October live video show we did for Filth Across the World is now available to purchase for $5. Just head to gumroad.com, that's gumroad.com/filthycasuals, and buy it there. You get the file to own and download, and you can watch it on your computer or device and enjoy the 3 hours of fun and silliness and quiplash sessions and the dumb segments that we did for our party episode. Hopefully you enjoy it, and hopefully you enjoy your holiday season. On with the episode.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's the ghost of Christmas past. Ben Vanel here. Great to be recording on our last sesh of the year.
Yep.
Joining us, of course, rounding out the trio.
Merry Christmas, video games. Mm-hmm. What did you get me? I got you. What would a video game even like? What? Because you can't
An
buy
an achievement.
It. Oh, yeah. I got you some my credit card details.
Yep.
So that you can download whatever bullshit packs of whatever you want.
Yep.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Celebrating the birth of Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yes.
The Jesus of video games. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he exists.
I believe he exists as a historical person.
Sure.
I don't believe he was magical.
No, the Romans made up Zelda and then they just put someone else's name on it. Like they just wrote it later on.
Yeah.
But yes, this is it. Our big 2021 Game of the Year Part 1.
Yes.
Spectacular. We're doing this, I think, slightly differently to how we usually do it.
Yes.
And we're all sort of doing it differently from one another.
Yeah.
It was a weird year in that, like, there were a lot of games that we all liked and they were all pretty different from one another in terms of what we loved and didn't.
Yep.
And it feels so strange to seemingly be at odds with, and we've mentioned this a couple of times, the general feeling that a lot of people seem to have of how the year was.
Mm.
People think it was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Yeah, we said this the other week on the pod, but I thought it may even be, in terms of just overall enjoyment, probably more consistent than last year.
Yeah.
I think what helped with me is that I had zero expectations for anything.
That's a good point, yeah.
Coming into it. And I think that there was some stuff that we just weren't really even keeping track of because delays of games, I so expected them.
Yeah.
But a bunch of stuff coming out in 2022 that was maybe thought to be coming out this year didn't register to me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a big part for me too was I bought a PC this year. So playing a wider spread of things than I usually would.
Yep.
I got onto things a bit earlier that eventually ended up coming out on Switch and PlayStation and other things, but by the time they came out on those things, I was busy with other stuff, so I may not have gotten around to them. Being able to get, there's a few things on my list that, getting them the day they came out on PC and then, kind of properly using that Game Pass, which I sort of wasn't really on my old Xbox because I started to feel like it wasn't running things quite up to scratch of how I wanted.
Mm.
So, for me, I felt like, and especially being in another very long lockdown in Melbourne.
Yes.
There was, every couple of weeks there was something new to keep busy with.
Yeah.
It was a real, real light in the dark.
Kept telling us how much you're enjoying Excel and PowerPoint.
Four
and five on your list.
Finally got onto
Winamp. Spoil anything. Yeah.
One of those older games.
You can download all those skins for it, which is really fun, and they're all free.
Playing co-op with a little paperclip. Yeah. My little online friend.
Well, that was the other thing that was sort of new for me this year is we played a lot of games together and we sort of road tested a lot of games for videos, a lot of multiplayer stuff, online stuff that I really was not into before.
Right.
And that, I think, helped really freshen the year up and I think forced me to play way more games than I would have otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I'm looking at Game Pass every week and just picking a brand new game to be like, could this be good for the pod? Could I just enjoy it myself?
Right.
Could we be something? could we be this game?
Any more something? But yeah, I agree. I totally agree. A lot of games that are sort of like mid-tier releases, not AAA games necessarily, and a lot of indie games that I just really enjoyed, you know? And like a game doesn't have to be The Last of Us 2 or Final Fantasy VII Remake for me to, you know, rate it a 10 out of 10.
If anything, most of them shouldn't be.
Yeah.
If I had to play Last of Us 2 10 right. different times this year in different guises, I would have struggled to make it to this podcast.
And nice to just have stuff come out that you'd be, that, you know, yeah, you got and you were into. And like, yeah, Last of Us 2 is a good example where it's not everything has to be this like complete
prestige,
you know, genre-defining kind of thing. Because also when that came out, just the stress of like feeling like you had to get it done and avoid spoilers and have this like pretty clean experience with it was, it's like feeling like you've got to be on the ground floor, otherwise the hype is going to kind of get away from you is like, yeah, you can't be doing that every week. So just coming to something that you that isn't even on your radar until you just see a little screenshot on the storefront and go, oh, what's this? This looks cool.
And that's the good thing about indie games in particular, but a lot of the games that came out this year is they were doing something that, like The Last of Us 2 is a really good example of that like blockbuster game that's trying to do something that you really have to engage with and focus on. And that style of blockbuster thing, like, they're sort of different, but like a Gears of War or like a that type of big, hey, this game's important sort of game, or like God of War or whatever.
Yeah. Right,
They're less focused sometimes on just making you have fun than a lot of the games that are in my list here were, which is like why they felt like these little oases in the middle of this shitty year that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
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 So how do we want to do this? We've got, we've basically all got a
rough 10.
A 1 through 10.
Yeah.
And then some honorable mentions.
Yes.
My list was 5 with honorable mentions. I've kind of scrambled
juiced
the honorable
it a little
mentions
bit. Yep.
into a 6 to 10 that is sort of an interchangeable order. But then you guys also have a bunch of honorable mentions as well.
I've got 16 games on a list that are sort of finagled around to fit into a 10 where a lot of that 10 could swap up or down a place.
Yeah. What about this? What about this? This is definitely not something that's going to feature in the 10s. What about best DLC of the year? Have you guys considered any of that sort of stuff?
Good question. I haven't really thought about it too much, to be honest.
I know that you and your partner enjoyed the Animal Crossing DLC.
Yeah, I haven't played as much of it as her. Yep. But in terms of also what I understand, the people who are really into it, what they're making of it, I think generally received as being, one of the better examples of DLC.
Mm. Yeah. What about you, Nox?
I've got... Yeah, technically 2 on my top 10 are DLC.
Yeah, I know what one of them is.
Yeah, but I ended up enjoying. I remember because talking about it on here, and I don't know if I updated when I went through the rest of it.
Mm.
Outer Wilds, Echoes of the Eye.
Oh, that's what I thought was going to be. Yeah.
No, that's a separate honorable.
This is
we'll mention you, but you don't rank.
Okay.
This isn't even on the honorable mentions.
This is sort of.
Okay. This is a mess already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should point out that I'm holding 70 pieces of paper with like red string tied between them.
Yeah.
Mm. Game of the year, the Zodiac Killer.
I know who it is. Outer Wilds Echoes of the Eye was probably the best, like, just pure pay an extra amount if you own the original game DLC that I enjoyed this year because, like, it seemed, and it felt at first when I started playing it and talked on here about it,
yeah,
that it was a very difficult task to make a new portion of that game because it was such a like fully explored idea that they right. had created in
which
the
was
original.
Like a closed loop itself, which...
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you've never played Outer Wilds, it's a time loop game, which I reckon the word time loop will come up again during these discussions.
Yeah.
But it had these planets that all kind of interacted a little bit with each other and there was different stuff to do and it was a very natural unfolding of... what you had of the puzzles that it contained because right. it wasn't just like tile slide puzzles or whatever. They were like information based and mm-hmm. your knowledge of what was going on was the thing that drove you further forward.
Mm.
And they managed to do that again in a way that doesn't seem immediately as intricate and creative as it ended up being.
Right.
And I ended up really enjoying that DLC when I ended up fully going through it.
Mm.
So... go and delete that previous episode from your podcast apps. No longer relevant.
Yeah, I was getting a bit, not like worried, but I was thinking like, did I end up enjoying these games that are on my list way more than I expressed on the podcast? Because like, people are going to think like, wait a minute, you said you didn't like it.
Well, because you are being critical of them in the actual sense of critiquing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about stuff on here. But I think for these couple of episodes... I'm intending to just talk about how much fun I had with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it... Yeah, and also when we're talking about them on the pod, maybe they've only come out a couple of days before.
Exactly.
And you're a few hours in, but yeah, for me, like, there's plenty of stuff that at the time I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then in thinking about it, it's like, yeah, what brought me the most joy through the year?
Right.
It's like there's certain ones where it's just like, yeah, it's undeniable. There's right. maybe technically better stuff. And that's, again, like the fact that there's not a big... behemoth like a Last of Us 2 that kind of towers over everything that really feels like when a game like that comes along, it's like, I mean, it's just such an achievement in so many ways that you've got to kind of put it up the top right. or near the top. But yeah, did I have the most fun playing it this year? Like, no, like just having this like completely clean for just purely thinking about like, yes, that one is the one I got the most enjoyment out of.
Totally.
Like,
these are the ones that I think we've all done this.
Yeah.
That I just purely enjoyed the most, and so I don't care if they're a fucking Michelin star, whatever.
Right.
If I enjoyed a double cheeseburger more than that, then it's at the top. And guess what? That's the case.
Yes.
That is how things work.
Well, yep. My DLC of the year was the Final Fantasy VII Remake stuff.
Yep.
Integrade.
Yeah. And specifically, yeah, the Yuffie thing. The bit of different mechanics from the main game. You only had that one sort of sidekick character, but loved going back into that world. Loved the twist on the combat with Yuffie's stuff, the boomerangy sort of thing and all that shit.
Yeah.
Loved being in that world. So detailed and looked incredible on PS5.
A lot more to it than I expected there to be in that as well. Like that little side mini game of like the board game thing that was in there.
Fort Condor.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect there to be as much of a like
a story.
It was longer than I expected and it went to crazier places than I expected. And the upgrade stuff for PS5 was great.
And the little overlap with the main game, you know, seeing that stuff from literally a different angle was cool. So
we should point out as well that we'll probably spoil a lot of the games we talk about.
Fair warning, this is the place where we're having deep chats on anything that we didn't get round to spoiling in the year.
Yes, that's true.
It's a shame that I'll never get to play this because in order to do that, I have to get my old PS4 and plug it in to get my save data off the cloud. So unfortunately, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah. You could rebuy the more expensive than normal and apparently quite bad PC port of it that just came out.
Okay.
Yeah. You could do that if you wanted to.
I could do that if I wanted.
It's a shame, that thing, because, it seems like they've fucked that up. But
you also, as of, I think, today or very recently, you can now get the PS5 upgrade if you get the PS Now free version of it.
The PS Plus version?
The PS Plus version.
So you had to have added that in March when it happened.
Right.
But now they've gone back on the thing of being like, this is separate, have they?
Yes.
I wonder if that's because of Godfall. And how people have been annoyed about that like weird pulled back version that went up on.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know. But anyway, go play that game and the DLC.
Yep.
Cool. So shall we knock through some honorable mentions, the things that pretty definitively for me don't make my top 10. I don't think anything in my honorables was close.
Okay.
And then the DLC didn't even make the honorables. We've done honorable honorables.
Yeah.
Now no, it's time.
DLC was separate. DLC was its own category.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've got like, I think some of these you guys will talk about as well. And we're going to do it like, if one of ours is higher in our personal list than where someone else put it, we'll talk about it the most when it's at the highest spot.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. A lot of admins so far. Very fun. End of year wrap up. You know, you go to an office Christmas party just to be told the rules.
Right. That's well, a lot of fun. If you think this is annoying to listen to, thank God that you weren't here for the discussion that we had to have about it off air before we even got to this part.
Don't drink too much and knock stuff. Stop groping Tommy. That's the office Christmas party rules here.
I do what I want. I'm the boss. Yeah. That's how things work. I'll never get my comeuppance.
Do you guys have any games in your honorables that you definitely don't think we all have?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So do I.
Well, let's go.
Let's all say one at the same time.
Okay. All right. We ready?
No, don't.
You've said it. Now let's go Tommy, Ben, me, like cool. The order our names are in the podcast.
Oh, okay.
What podcast?
Poster Boys.
Yeah.
I do have a game quite high up later in my actual list.
Okay.
That I maybe am cheating in terms of whether you would consider it to be a 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple minor cheats as well. Yeah. Weird year. Everybody's all over the shop.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. I have two games that would be at the top of my list if they weren't actually released last year.
I see.
Well, one that came out late enough on a bunch of other stuff in 2020 and then early enough in 2021 on another console that I would consider it to be a 2021 release. And like we were saying, for just the sheer amount of enjoyment I got out of it this year, it's like I couldn't not have it up there. But then there's a couple of other ones that I have to be realistic and go, they're re-releases of a previous year's game.
Right.
Death Stranding Director's Cut for me.
Yep.
I went back and forth with whether to actually put this in the top 5 or 10.
Right.
Because I'm having such a good time with it. But I think I'm about 2/3 of the way through. I'm not quite at the end, and it feels like a lot of that game is like the whole experience of the full story of it. So it felt like a bit of a cheat to include it when I'm not quite at the end. But yeah, I am having such a good time with it for it just not gelling with me when it first came out.
Right.
And it is
Tommy's most improved game.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
I think it was my most improved by the end of last year as well. Like, I had the exact same experience.
I think if I had have properly gotten to this point with it the year that it came out, it would have been in my top 5 for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it makes a good case for these like re-releases or director's cuts or remasters or whatever you want to call them because sometimes you're just not in the right place for it when it first comes out. And something about, I mean, I know you can always go back to stuff, but something about it kind of like being in the like current release cycle again and kind of getting a bit more targeted advertising for it, and it just gets pushed on you a little bit more, was the thing that made me go, all right, this is the time to kind of dip in and give it a go. And I think it's fantastic. I really, in terms of just pure enjoyment out of a game this year, and if I had finished it and if I wasn't worrying about the year that it actually technically came out in, I think it would be in my top 5 for sure.
God, one year we should do just like top 5 games we played this year and have that be a separate list.
Man.
I would like to do a do-over list of the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Where we go back over
that'd be cool.
What we had and then what we ended up getting around to and how the list would change.
Well, if we were going to do that of any year release, then my game I enjoyed from a different whatever. One of mine is Shadow Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they put out a remaster of it, which isn't the one I played. I played it on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
And that game was like weirdly way more fun than I was expecting it to be. It is old in its design, but it is kind of like a Zelda-ish third-person shooter game from 98 or 99. Mm-hmm. And so,
and it's one of your games of the year of 2021.
It is an honourable mention.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am honourable.
I begged you to try and get it down to a top five, and you were like, I simply can't.
Yeah,
I simply have to include this.
I played a Nintendo 64 game this year, and so it's in there.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
But like, there is a remaster of it that came out this year.
Yes.
And if you have the tolerance for older game mechanics, which this certainly does have, like there's a lot of where the fuck do I go now?
Yeah.
I guess I'll look up a guide. but it just I kind of put myself in the feeling of what my response to it would have been when I was 10.
Right.
You know, and from that point of view, it did have like the slightly darker aesthetic that compared to the rest of the N64's
right.
library. A dark library.
The twisted
mind of Shadow Man.
Sick shit like Majora's Mask and Beetle Adventure Racing.
I really enjoyed going back to that because it just had that satisfying Zelda style progression mixed with a fucking dumbass story, but like with voice acting and stuff on the N64, you're like trying to track down Jack the Ripper and shit, but he's like a super powered guy. I enjoyed it. Shooting's terrible, but it's an old game.
Speaking of voice acting, one of my honorable mentions is a game that I don't think anyone liked. 12 Minutes.
I did not like it. It would have been on my most disappointing games list if we were.
I really enjoyed it a lot. I just liked everything about it. I liked the presentation, liked the adventure style, the point and click stuff, the unraveling of a mystery in a time loop.
Yeah.
The presentation visually I thought was sick. Liked the story. Just liked everything about it.
This was a disappointment for me too, not really in terms of anything the game was doing. I was liking all that stuff. I don't know if you guys remember. I was playing it with my girlfriend who... first thing she'd gone in on that wasn't Animal Crossing.
Right.
We're having a really good time trying to solve it together, and then we hit a point where...
That's a very funny progression to go from Animal Crossing to like, what if Willem Dafoe beat you to death?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. It was like, you know, it was lockdown and I was just like, hey, I'm going to play this for the pod. Just kind of, it's like, this is how it works and, you know, we can converse with each other about like what to do. But we hit a point where it was kind of like broken. Like we had this like glitch thing where... We were doing the right stuff to progress it and was looking up a guide and it was like, yeah, you say this and then this will move it on, and it just was not working. So I had to reset it and then do a new thing and go all the way through, and then that just really took the wind out of my sails on it. And then hearing a few people get to the end of it and be a bit on it. Yeah, it was a real shame. I think that had we not hit that wall, we probably would have like cracked through it over a couple of nights because we were having a lot of fun doing it, but it was just like... Yeah, it was such a drainer to have to get up to that bit again to fix that little glitch that we hit.
I had a few bugs with it as well, with just like, you know, people getting stuck in walls and whatever. Like we had the weird little things.
The time kept repeating.
Yeah, it wouldn't let me just go through. It was like stuck going back to the start.
They keep spawning at the doorway again. It was so weird.
And it had this weird glitch where Daisy Ridley was terrible in it.
But yeah, I liked literally everything about it, but I know that there were... bugs and stuff that did not happen to me.
Yeah, you can't control whether or not that stuff. And like, I wouldn't hold that against it fully as much as then the story just didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Like the thing at, and here comes a spoiler, the thing at the end of it being that he's fucking his sister the whole time.
Or
that's gross.
Not the whole time, because most of it's a fantasy.
Yeah, I
think this game went over your head.
No, it just was like, yeah, it was like him being tortured by his like
therapist who's his dad.
Yeah. It was like, it was weird.
Oh, that's the end? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe was like trapped you in a thing. And then there's like a book you can pick up that gives you a secret ending that accidentally I did the first time.
Oh, right.
So that made it a bit weird too in terms of narrative progression where I got something that I wasn't meant to get early. But that's not the game's fault. I was just fucking around too much. But then also the puzzles, yeah, I found that they were just a little.
Yeah. Well, illogical. It's one of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah. It takes all sorts of people.
It takes 12 minutes.
To make 12 minutes, yeah. Which I was objectively... Just, no, I'm kidding.
All right, yeah. I'm going to criticize every game that you say now.
Especially
your number one.
Well, we're still honorables, right?
Yeah.
This will
be forever.
Okay, another quick honorable for me. I went back and forth again about whether to put this in possibly even the top five, and thought I would for a little while throughout the year, but Resident Evil 4 VR.
Oh, yes. I forgot that came out this year.
Yeah.
It's also an honourable mention for me then.
Haven't finished it, but I mean, I finished the original back in the day, and it's like, as much as it's a great new VR game, it is just a It's an old game. It's the same old game. But I think it's most exciting for just like what it shows that you can do in VR. Anything that comes along in VR that is a full game, like a full at least 10-hour experience, not just like a little, you know, novelty movie thing or rhythm game or whatever. Just seeing like the possibilities of what you can do in terms of like putting a full thing into VR was very exciting for me.
Agreed. I loved it. I'm about halfway through.
And
for me, I'd never played it. I don't know. I reckon a VR adaptation counts as its own release.
It's weird. It's like a remake kind of, but then it's the exact same game, but really well adapted. But it was the thing that I didn't get super far in because I was enjoying it, but then I played Resident Evil 4 a few years ago or whatever, recently enough that it felt, because it's the same game still, that I just didn't have that momentum to keep going, but it was a good adaptation.
I think a big part of it too was that I just I hadn't you know, maybe if I'd finished it I would have felt like a bit more justified in putting it in the top five. It's also that thing of like playing a thing in VR is a bit more of an investment of like, you know, have the thing on, and I find it too hard to do too long at a time in like terms of like a huge sitting of one session. But yeah, that's my next honorable mention.
Nice. Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll read a few. I'll read two that I think will definitely appear later. So I'll just say them.
Yeah.
Halo Infinite and Forza Horizon 5 are two of my honorable mentions.
They will appear later.
Far Cry 6 is also an honorable mention. It's the same as every other Far Cry game, and I like them.
I'm surprised it's not in your actual list.
I didn't finish it. I'd finished every other Far Cry game that had come out, like, you know, as I was playing it, as it came out, I just sat down and that was my game. It just drifted away from the story a little bit. It's not quite as engaging, maybe.
It felt like there was maybe something going on where the, because I drifted away from the story as well, and it felt like maybe they'd structured it sort of differently, where it did open up wider or something at some point, so you could lose track of that main thread easily.
It definitely did that. And I also think the main character is not very interesting, and not who I thought it was going to be. Honestly, from the ads, I thought it was going to be the child of the dictator, and it turns out it's just some fucking mercenary.
Who kind of doesn't want to be there. And like the whole time I was like, oh, hang around, I guess. And I like it being similar is because, like I said, we'll talk about Forza Horizon 5 later.
So right.
You can have games be basically the exact same game again and have them be good. And yeah, Far Cry 6 was good.
Yeah, totally. But not good enough to be in the list.
Yep.
I might do the same thing and mention three that I reckon will come up later.
Yep.
And then talk about my real one.
Yep.
I reckon Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village, and WarioWare Get It Together will come up later.
At least one of them will.
At least one of them will.
Okay. I will talk about WarioWare Get It Together.
Okay.
Or will that come up later?
No objections.
No objections here.
Okay. But I won't talk about Resident Evil Village or Ratchet and Clank.
Correct.
Okay.
I love the tension that we've introduced.
Yeah, this really does feel like a little mystery.
I am surprised that two of those are both only honorables.
Yeah, a lot of good ass games this year, am I? Yeah.
Actually, WarioWare would be an honorable for me too.
Yeah, it's fucking.
Well, you guys should talk about it, though.
Especially in terms of how well they pulled off that concept that I was so off on.
Yes.
Before. Actually playing it.
Yep.
I really thought it actually was very fun and a cool twist on the WarioWare mechanics.
Yep.
I ended up really liking the character control thing that is the main thrust of that. And then, you know, not the longest game, but not hugely more mini games that have been in any of the others or whatever, but then the stuff around it, the like feeding your characters these little presents and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I got way more into that side silly stuff than I ever have with a WarioWare game before. So
I think at the time that it came out, it was nice to have a new Switch game that really did work best purely as a handheld game. It was kind of nice to be able to like be back on the couch playing something while my girlfriend was watching TV instead of being here in the fucking man cave with the Pamela Anderson poster.
Being in the fucking dollhouse.
Yeah, really fun game. If you've got a Switch, definitely recommend checking it out. I think we said this at the time, but there's a demo on the... I believe there's still a demo on there, but yeah, worth a crack, especially if you've never played a WarioWare game before. Yeah. They're very fun and they're very different from anything else that's out there.
And it's got decent online stuff that keeps it fresh. Like they keep adding...
Little wiggly challenges and stuff.
It is a weirdly one I've been going back to pretty often, checking in and seeing what's there and doing a few mini games and going like, cool, man. I was fucking sick. It's crazy what they could do these days.
We've also got a video of you...
Space Invaders.
We've got a video on our YouTube of you playing it while we're heckling you.
Yeah, if you want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
That is not an accurate representation.
It is the best version of the game that exists, though.
And it was another
us
one of those...
commentating it.
Yes. It was another one of those fun ones to do online.
Yeah. Do you want to do another one?
I've got one more.
You guys both... Oh, okay.
Do you have one more or are we sort of...
I reckon I've got two more.
Okay.
Okay.
But I can do them really quickly. Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. Oh, we talked about it last week.
I am surprised that it's not in the top 10 actually, yeah.
It just hasn't been out for long enough, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, it is... It's especially in terms of puzzle, it's probably the best puzzle game of the year, I'd say, maybe, or one of.
Sure.
But it's, anyway.
Depends how you define puzzle game.
That's true. They're kind of all puzzle games in a way,
well,
aren't they?
No, not that broad.
Yeah,
puzzled
definitely.
By how these cars are going so fast. Where's Mexico?
Definitely worth a look in.
Yeah, I want to play it. I had a look at it after you reviewed it. Looks sick.
It's really good. And my other one, again, technically a re-release, but the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. Again, just because it was the thing that finally got me to commit to the game after really only scratching the surface of it when we reviewed it back whenever it came out.
And we were all depressed.
Yes.
And we all hated it for like a week.
I think this one came out, again, while we were all depressed. I'm pretty sure it may have been the start of lockdown.
It was almost exactly a year after we were almost in exactly the same situation.
But there was just something about I was just kind of up for something where I was just kind of... I got into it mostly to just... I just wanted to explore and look around this like... nicely detailed world, and then got hooked in on all the story stuff. A lot of the stuff people find very bland and generic about it didn't really bother me or wasn't an issue for me, or I didn't really have those issues. I think it's great.
Nice.
I keep seeing people in our Discords and Facebook groups coming to it even now. Yeah. Like it's really one that, like, I don't think it made as big of a splash on day one as Sony first party stuff tends to, but it's like over the last 2 years, as more and more and more and more people kind of go, I'm going in and I'm really liking it.
It definitely did the same for me. I appreciated it a lot more with this re-release for whatever reason. Mm. Just it running a little better helped. It made it look so much nicer. Like it already looked nice, but there's something about seeing it run that smoothly.
Yes.
And then like having in my head a better understanding of what it was before going back in that second time.
Right. Yeah.
Also helped.
Yeah.
I've got one more honorable that barely didn't scrape the actual list, which we still haven't gotten to after
30 minutes.
Little Nightmares 2.
Oh,
yeah.
And it partly is because I played the first one as well, which came out a while ago.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the 1-2 hit. And also I played through this one with my girlfriend and kind of watching this and one that was on my list, watching this dialogue-less story happen and being able to talk about it and enjoy it.
Right.
Like that really was a fun way to play that game. Mm. So if you're in a situation where you want to do that, I recommend it as like a surprisingly good single player multiplayer game.
Where
like
couch co-op.
But you give one person a fake controller, one of those little bubble games where you got to get a ring on a hook.
Like Maggie in the intro of The Simpsons.
Exactly.
Yes.
It was surprisingly, because I don't think it's the best playing game.
Right.
But the way that it tells this like beautifully animated story was a lot of fun to go through.
And it's a puzzle game.
I suppose so.
Yeah. I got a couple more. Diablo 2 Resurrected I thought was a great remaster of a great game. And then a couple that might appear later on some lists. Eastwood.
Yep.
That's an honorable for me.
Okay. Great game. Love the visual style.
Yep.
Really good writing. Surprisingly good.
Again, just not far enough into it to put it further the top, but loved it.
Great music. Everything about it I thought was
Dirty
was
Harry.
Really cool.
Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's great stuff.
I believe if you go back to the week it came out, that's the joke that I made.
Hey, it's a celebration of everything we did this year.
The best and the worst.
It's an unintentional clip show.
And
That'd be so funny if The Simpsons just accidentally does an idea it had before instead of doing one of its clip shows.
Persona 5 Strikers.
Yeah, it's not on a list for me.
Is it on? I think, okay. And then I had my two games that like technically came out, well, did come out like in previous years, but I played and finished this year with like the remaster final cut. So Yakuza Like a Dragon, I suspect will appear on someone else's list.
Who's to say?
Me. Well, you're supposed
yes,
to.
Yes, it will.
And then Disco Elysium, the final cut. It's my second favorite game of all time.
Yeah, that and the one you mentioned two ago that I've already forgotten what it was. I wasn't far enough into it to have it on a list, but I was liking the bit that I'd played.
Yeah.
I don't remember what you'd said two
Diablo
games ago.
Diablo 2?
No, the one in between Eastwood. That. No, the one after that.
Persona 5 Strikers.
Strikers, yeah, that was it. Didn't get far enough in that or the one you just mentioned. I can't remember.
What's going on?
2020 and 2021 happened consecutively and broke my brain. But
Disco Elysium.
They were good, but Disco Elysium and Persona 5 Strikers I played enough of to see that they were good. I think they were good too, but I didn't get far enough that they're on a list. But fuck my ass, dude.
You've got to finish Disco Elysium.
I've got to remember that it exists or that anything has ever happened in my... Yeah.
By the end of it, I think you will think it's one of the best games of all
time. I've
Something
just got
else
committed
came along, yeah.
Redownload it on the PC.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the way to play it.
Yeah, definitely.
I bought it on PS5 before.
But yes.
No, it's a literal point and clicker, I reckon. That's the way to play it. And that is everything that is not my top 10.
Yeah, wow. Same.
Well, speaking of top 10s.
Yes?
Someone who's in the top 10 of advertisers that we've ever had.
Oh.
Sure, yeah.
The good people at Manscaped.
Yes.
A very honourable mention.
Yes. Personally, in my opinion, they're in the top number one of gifts you can give around Christmas time.
Absolutely. Christmas is in 2 days. So give it a crack.
Yeah. Hey, you might be, you know, meeting up extended family, you know, mm-hmm. the week after Christmas. You get around New Year's, see some family, some gifts.
I personally think that it's totally okay this year of all years as well to go like, hey, I've ordered you this. It'll be showing up later. Who knows with the post, da, da, da.
I know. Apparently that's happening for me with my immediate family. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think that's absolutely fine. And what better gift to give than the gift of personal genital hygiene?
Yeah. Or nasal.
Or nasal.
Or ear oral.
Yeah, any of those can be considered a genital if you're into it.
I don't think that's the definition of genital.
But I'm an ear, nose, and throat doctor, which for me is a gynecologist.
But yes, it is a fantastic product. We're all using the Lawnmower 4.0. We also have the ear and nose trimmer, which I continue to be amazed with every time I use it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. The Lawnmower 4.0, I'm using on my face because I have a Lawnmower 3.0 and it's a fucking good facial razor as well.
It is, yeah. They're just good trimming, shaving, grooming products from Manscaped.
Yeah.
And you know what? You've had your family round, you've paid for a big fucking turkey.
Yes.
Maybe you want to save a little bit of money on your gifts.
Oh.
Is there a way you could do that?
I reckon there is.
I'm certain there is.
Well, you're certain?
You head to manscaped.com.
Okay.
You put in the code FILTHY at checkout.
Yeah.
You're going to get free shipping.
Oh.
Fuck, I'm getting a bigger turkey.
I've had to order so many fucking presents on Amazon and shit this year that have not had free shipping.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a real saver for me.
Well, hey, you haven't even heard the rest of the deal.
I don't think I need to.
I'm already sick of your voice.
I'm hitting purchase, but okay, if you want to finish something else.
When you hit purchase,
yeah.
Guess what's coming off the top?
My pubes.
I mean,
a little bit
eventually,
after purchase.
Purchase, 20%.
Oh.
Damn. One fifth. Yeah, 20% off with the code FILTHY.
One fifth makes it sound a lot more like
that
significant
like
than
more.
It is. Yeah.
It's a lot, yeah.
But it is exactly what it is.
Four twentieths.
Oh.
Hell yeah, baby.
Yeah, yeah,
brother.
Yeah. I think. No.
Yeah.
It's two tenths, four twentieths.
Yeah,
four
yeah, twentieths.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right. Yeah, okay.
We're too high to figure that out, dude. Yes. Yeah, manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY, 20% off, free shipping, good
yeah. products. Get your fucking Christmas sorted.
Yeah.
Now, let's get our fucking game of the year sorted.
So one other little thing I'm going to do this year is keep track of what we all say in our positions and then calculate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it took us so long to figure out that 4/20ths was 1/5 that I don't know if it'll be possible, but figure out what our like overall sort of altogether game of the year is,
because
we've got individual lists. It will probably end up being that the one we all thought was in the middle will be the number one. Yeah. That's the way these things always tend to work, which is why we end up with these clowns in Congress.
Yes. Oh.
But yeah, I'm going to do that at the same time for the end.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Next week.
So should we do a running tally at the end of this one?
We'll give it a surprise at the
okay.
So we're going to go 10 to 6 and then we're going to take a little break and be back next week.
Yes.
With exactly. 5 to 1.
Yes.
Tommy, do you want to kick us off?
Why on earth not?
This is exciting.
Yeah.
They're like the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys. It's an award show.
It's
the actors.
The
Walkleys.
Yep.
The Game Awards.
The Brits.
the BET Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Employee
the Razzies.
The Razzies.
The Razzies. What are the porno ones called? The Adult Video Awards?
Don't pretend like you don't know. The Dickies.
What are they called? The Dickies.
The Dickies. Okay.
The Cummies.
That's what this awards ceremony is called. Yeah. This is called the Cummies.
The Daddies.
Okay, number 10.
All right.
In my game of the year, Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh, that's doesn't appear in my list. I'm happy for you to go whole hog into Monster Hunter Rise.
As am I. And also, doesn't even feel like it came out this year. That's so crazy.
Came out very early on. Had struggled with Monster Hunter. Really didn't think it'd ever be for me. Kind of even the last one, which was kind of touted as being the most accessible
which is World.
One. World, yes. Yeah. Even that, I just could never quite get into. And then something about this one, I don't know what it was. This, for some weird reason, felt more like an introductory one than World did, even though that was what World was explicitly trying to do.
Yeah.
But then World also had tons of extra, like, kind of online stuff, and it felt like it was, like, a lot bigger. This just really hooked me in. And then once I got into that little rhythm of going around and hunting the monsters, I was just having a great time of it. It doesn't run great on the Switch, and I think it might be one of the biggest things that points to the existence at one point of there being a Switch Pro.
Yeah.
Because it's out on PC now, and I played the demo of it, and it's like, man, what a beautiful world this would have been.
Right. Yeah, in January maybe. Maybe there's a demo out, but it's in I feel like it was in maybe I'm thinking of the DLC is coming out next year.
Oh, the DLC, yeah. But I'm pretty sure you can get the full game on PC.
Okay,
right.
At the moment. At the very least, you can get a demo of it.
Right.
Which, just to see kind of how it ran. And but even those things aside, like, it does look pretty jagged. But just that loop of it's so simple. You just go into a little map, you hunt around, you find a monster, you spend probably 45 minutes ultimately trying to take it down, you craft shit, then you got some stronger weapons and some stronger armor to take on a bigger monster. You unlock new maps. You get little upgrades and cosmetic things for your little dog that you're riding around.
Yep.
The weird Japanese-ness of it.
Yep.
It was just nice to finally be in this kind of world of a game that I had sort of given up hope of there. I was like, if I can't even get into what's meant to be the most accessible one that they've deliberately made to capture newcomers, then I'm probably never going to be in on this. But I loved it. The only annoying thing is I've gone back in and tried to do a bit of the stuff that they've added since, and it really is a great example of a game that once you're out of it for like a month, you are back to square one.
Totally. Yeah. And it's weird because it is such a simple game in some ways. There are so many layers of extra little bits and pieces on top that I found the same thing where if you take a week away, you're fucked.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to know you after that.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you should go back and play World then, because when I played Rise, I was like, this is exactly the same as World.
Yeah.
To me, mechanically, that sort of the heaviness of the weight of the weapon, and like, you have to judge all of that stuff, but it felt very similar to World, except it just looked a little worse.
It just doesn't look as good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, too, sometimes things just come out at the exact right time. I think this came out mid-Comedy Festival, but I was kind of playing it right after Comedy Festival finished, where I just had a bit of an abundance of time, and it was just a nice little one to sit down and go, yep, I'm just going to do one monster. I'm just going to go on one hunt.
Right.
And then the satisfaction of, like, the fact that there's no little energy meter for the monsters that you're fighting, which I think at the beginning is a thing that's annoying and probably keeps people at arm's length, because you're like, am I doing this properly? Right. Like, am I having any success here? And then the fact that it kind of, you do learn that there are little tells that the monsters kind of have that you've really worn them down.
When you see that motherfucker start to limp.
Oh,
right,
yes.
Right.
Oh,
take that, then you almost, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Get what you get for being a weird looking animal.
But then almost what feels like completely randomly, it's not random, but like the surprise of hitting it, it going down, thing coming up, victory. The fact that that does kind of come sort of out of nowhere is just such a nice feeling. Like, it's, yeah, I loved this game.
Nice.
It was great. And yeah, I was like, at the start of the year, I thought this will be my top five, I reckon. I'm liking this enough, not knowing what's coming for the back half of the year. But yeah, if we had have had to do this list in, it definitely would have been in my top five of first half of the year.
Right.
For sure.
Coming for the back half of the year, also a category at the Dickies, at the Cummies.
Yes, at the Cummies.
Yeah, I think it's good too. And it is weirdly meditative in an Animal Crossing-y kind of way.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a combat Animal Crossing where you can just lock in and suddenly it's been 8 hours. Or you can jump in for, you know, 40 minutes and be like, yeah, great.
Mm. Yep.
Just lost track of it, I think, similar to how it sounds like you did where...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it literally felt to me like, well, I played Monster Hunter World for like 80 hours.
Right.
And it's more of the same, but I mentally closed off that game and moved on sort of thing.
Yeah. It's, and yeah, I want to kind of get back in the swing of it with the controls, because they've added all this stuff that you have to do, little events to get, like, you can dress your dog up like Mega Man's dog, and you can dress up as Sonic, and there's all this crazy Capcom, cross promotion kind of stuff.
It does sound like the sort of one too, where if you've got a PC, maybe either get it on there or hold out if it's not on there yet, or wait until the DLC comes out or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it running a little bit better would add to that game.
Yeah.
Definitely frame rate wise, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
My number 10 for this year was a game that I kind of forgot existed because it came out first half of the year and was a free PS Plus game.
Okay.
The indie game Maquette.
Ah.
Maquette.
That's it.
Hell yeah.
That's it. It's a weirdly spelled name. I loved it. I played it all the way through. Again, I played it with my partner at the time, where we did a bit of co-op stuff, another one of these puzzle games that are, you know, a first-person-y, perspective-y one.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I loved it. I loved the visual style. I loved the puzzles as they unfolded, that use of small, middle, big, and just have to do the mental lateral thinking to get around it. Mm. I didn't like the writing very much. But I liked the music and I liked everything else about it. It was one of those rare first-person puzzle games that I persevered with all the way to the very end.
Cool.
It's not Portal, but it's in the same category for me.
And crazy that it was given away for free.
Yeah.
You know, as a subscription thing.
Yeah.
That was a big surprise because that was like on release.
It was on release.
And it was only on the PS5 for a time and now is on the PC and stuff as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's how it happened.
I guess,
That was crazy when PS Plus got real good for a second.
Yeah. The battle of the consoles was that, Sony was like, okay, we got to buy some games and put them on PS Plus.
But
loved it. And it was a small team. I think a lot of the music was like their mates and stuff. A really fun experience. Great concept.
I enjoyed what I played of it. I think I said this at the time that I had just recently played a puzzle game that was this very similar concept but in VR.
Yeah,
It just hit a lot harder in the VR version for me that meant that this was like slightly diluted by being the second one of it I'd played. But yeah, worth checking out
if
you like puzzle games.
Yeah. Sort of like the time loop thing that happened this year as well where we will end up crowning a best time loop game of the year at some point, I suppose. Number 10 for me is one that I back and forthed about whether it should be one of the honorables and stuff, but I enjoyed it so much that it is number 10, was Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. Ooh. Specifically Bowser's Fury.
Yes.
Because I didn't replay 3D World in this thing. But Bowser's Fury itself was so much fun. It was such enjoyable evolution of what Mario's been doing lately, where it felt like this progression from Odyssey to being this kind of open world version of Mario that really worked but was still tight, not like open world as in bullshit to do, but lots of really creative Mario shit to go and do that I enjoyed so much more than I expected to.
It is insane that you would say this at 10 and then talk about it, I assume under the assumption that I'm not going to have it higher
oh,
up.
Oh, yes.
This is like, wow, this guy really doesn't know me at all. But yeah, we'll talk about it more later. Well, yeah. I mean, we can just go in now.
No, let's talk about it later.
Let's talk about it later. Because that's a little bit of what I have to say about it. There's more praising I'm going to do later.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is my number 10.
Nice.
We'll return to discussion.
BRB.
BF. Bowser's Fury. Back.
Best
Fury. Oh, okay.
Okay, my number 9.
Yes.
And let's see if we're talking about it now or talking about it later.
Yeah, okay. I guess we should check in with that.
Yes.
Forza Horizon 5.
We'll talk. It's mine. It's also my number 9, which you'd find out in one rotation. So we've got that exactly the same.
Okay.
It's not on my list.
Okay.
All right.
So it was one of my honorables, remember? So go for it.
I don't really know. I kind of really debated where to have it. I feel like I could also make a compelling argument for it to be like number 1.
Right.
But I kind of had to put it lower just because it's great. It's awesome, but it's like I think there's more interestingly creative stuff further up my list.
I think you and I had a similar thing where we both played a lot of 4 relatively soon before playing 5 as well, where it is more 4. It could be an expansion pack for Forza Horizon 4 for sure.
It's bigger, it's better for sure. But it does use a lot of it uses the same UI stuff.
Yeah, right.
It really isn't trying to distinguish itself too much. But in terms of like just choosing what it's gonna do, I don't think there's many other games that pick a thing and then do it basically perfectly like this does.
Yes. I agree completely that it is just such a it reminds me of the how much I like Project Gotham 1 and 2 on the original Xbox, where it's like taking good driving stuff. I don't think it's like ultra realistic or whatever, but like pretty, it's not arcadey driving.
Right.
And then it is plugging so many fun things on top of that to give you stuff to do with a car that it goes beyond how much I can enjoy most racing games.
Yeah.
All of the little challenges, all of the variety in this map and of what you can do and how much fun it is to just even go between those things because it's a fucking driving game.
Yeah.
So like it just constantly trying to make you have fun.
And to have something that appeals to both big car nuts and absolutely casual people who could, you know, don't really know anything about cars whatsoever.
Yeah.
Is really impressive. Like,
I saw some big car nuts on the back of a truck.
That's cool, man.
It was really funny.
To talk, you know, I've read reviews about it from people who are like really into their cars, and they're like, it's crazy that all the engines sound different and sound realistic, and you can get under the hood and you can tune it up and you can do all that stuff for
so
hours if you
detail.
Want, but you can also just not touch that at all. And like I said when we reviewed it, that the way that the progression works too, like you really can play through it in whatever way you want and make that progress. You can only do one style of racing and ignore all the others, and you're still going to get enough points that you need to unlock the little like story bit things that you're doing.
Yeah. That was really my only issue with it, other than like some of the online stuff being a bit broken at the launch of it, was that some of the presentation of the story is like a little annoying and a little kind of just not great, but it's so easily brushed over that it doesn't really make a difference, because like you said, like the stuff with the simulation of the cars, I remember there was like just a big jump that you've got to do, and I couldn't jump far enough to get the 3 stars for this little side event thing, so I went into the settings of this car and tweaked with all of the torque and whatever the fuck. I'm not a car guy, so I did what I thought would make this car go fast.
Yeah.
And when I went back out, the car would barely drive and it was like wiggling around because I'd fucked with something.
Great.
But it was cool that it showed me how intricate this simulation system is.
Yep.
That I fucked with something on the car and it seemingly had a very realistic reaction to that, which was to, you know, cost me $1 million in car repairs. But it was so much detail and variety in that.
I think this was my most anticipated game of the year. Mm, and it was a big factor in me getting the PC because I was like, I want to be able to play this at a, you know, at the optimum level when it comes out. Mm. And yeah, it really did. It really did everything I wanted it to. It maybe that's why it's not higher up, because it didn't really. I had such high expectations for it, and it met them. It didn't blow them out of the water,
which is part of it being quite similar to 4, right?
Yeah, and just it is what it is. It's a big map, and you drive around, and there's great little bit. It just does everything great, and I expected it to do everything great.
Mm.
There's no surprises.
It runs fantastically as well. I was playing it on Series X. But like or across the board on all sorts of different things, it seems to run really well and not have too demanding of a PC requirement thing, especially for how good it looks and how much detail there is on like the fact that you can get into the interior and drive from there in every car is, and it's all modeled out really nicely.
Completely differently,
and all the engines sound different if you're outside the car to inside. Like it's so fucking cool.
I think my reason that it's not higher up is I've seen it described as a great driving game and not, well, like the best driving game, but not the best racing game, because there is a point at which you see into the Matrix and you're like, we're just driving around in circles. Right. You know, it's not like, I love the little event, the special events that they put in along with the story and stuff like that. But I think I needed something a bit more. I do tend to prefer like Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, where it's like, okay, I can be a cop and I can like drop spikes. You know, like I just needed something a little extra.
I agree though that the stuff that they do where you're like racing a hovercraft or whatever is like, I wish there was like a little smattering more of them.
Yeah.
Like maybe 10% more in place of the, just going around in a circle track.
Yeah, yeah.
2/20 I also think that
4/40
I think I agree with that as well. In that, like,
there's only so much variety in getting really good at handling a car enough to drive faster than the other people in a race.
Well, and for whatever reason, like, I can do that for hours more. And like, I'm really looking forward to Gran Turismo 7.
Right,
but for whatever reason, the actual races are the events I'm the least excited to do.
Right.
In Horizon 5.
I like driving to, like, for me, it's driving to the next race.
Yeah,
And seeing different parts of the map and, like, what you were doing, Adam, trying to get all the roads marked off on
There's
the map.
There's fucking one.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it is. It's so frustrating.
But, that's probably speaks especially to why it's not in my top 10 is because I would teleport to each race if I could.
Right.
Okay, like, I do... It is enjoyable. Like, the driving around the map is, like, perfect. But I'm here to get some fucking endorphin rushes when I come first in every race.
Sure.
You know, like, but, yeah, it's a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Can't disagree.
It's our number 9. Ben, what do you got?
The Yoko of the...
Revolution.
Number 9. Song.
I don't know if you guys will have this higher up. You might also have forgotten it came out this year. Because I almost did. Hitman 3.
It's not higher up because I didn't play enough of it to really put it anywhere.
Right.
Same. It for me, it suffered from the fact that, like we talked about at the time, most of the bulk of the game is not in just doing the mission. It's in doing the mission again and again and getting all the different things. And so I just kind of went through all the missions once and then I had my symptom of seeing the credits going like, oh, cool, now I want to do all that other stuff. But because I've seen the credits, I just mentally have let go of it.
Yeah,
but I did love what I played of it, but it was, if you just go through it and go, oh, I just want to clear the missions all once, it's like it takes you 3 hours or something.
That's
the only reason it's not high for me. But I did love what I played of
it. It is a good game.
Yeah, and I kind of mentally just, because they do literally package it together now.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, they sort of released a new game, but sort of just added another third onto one of the great all-time gaming franchises.
Right.
You know, like, they really are. Every single level is so well made. All of the challenges are great. The AI is fantastic. And it still is. And those missions, I thought, were still really, really fun and had some probably more innovative stuff in them. Like,
The murder mystery thing.
Yeah, really exactly. Good. The murder mystery thing, integrating a story that you could unfold in a similar way to other Hitman levels where it's like you can approach this whatever way you want.
Yeah.
But and applying that to a sort of story that's taking place within that world.
Totally. It's so creative with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
With how like malleable those levels are as well.
Right.
Like alongside how intricately they are made and scripted out and
yes.
how good the dialogue is and how funny a lot of the stuff is.
Yeah. Mm.
It is, yeah, very fun in that
yeah.
way.
A fitting end to the World of Assassination Trilogy.
I keep forgetting that that's what it's actually called.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But yeah, I all year I've kept going like, I've got to go back in
Same.
On this. But I just kind of keep forgetting that it's there. And it's, yeah, it's dumb that I didn't pick it up more in lockdown because it is. It's
I
so
agree.
Easy
that's
to just.
Fucking stupid.
It's so dumb.
I'm so dumb. Why am I such a fucking idiot? It's just such a, yeah, it's so easy to just pick up and fuck around for a little bit.
Did you mess around with the VR mode they added?
No, I did not.
I did a bit of that and it's pretty cool as
well.
Yeah,
right.
I think it's on PC now as well. The PSVR version of it kind of suffered a bit for being on the PSVR, which is now noticeably lower fidelity in how it tracks your movement and that sort of stuff. But it is very cool that they took the time to add that to the entire trilogy as well with Hitman 3.
Yes.
What trilogy?
The Hitman trilogy.
Hmm. I don't know that there is any such thing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I've never seen it described that way personally. Certainly not in game.
The World of Assassination.
Oh.
Welcome to Channel 9's Wide World of Assassination. Great game. Being your number 9 might be the reminder and impetus for me to go back into the World of Assassination.
Yes.
All right, I guess we are now back to Tommy, right? Because we've done your number 9.
Yes.
Number 8 for me, Persona 5 Strikers.
Hey, that's all right. The highest I imagine it's going to be on anyone's list.
It's not on mine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great game.
Yeah.
It truly is a real sequel.
Yep.
I did not think it was going to be that.
While being a spin-off.
Yeah.
It's really impressive that it works.
Yeah.
It's and sort I of think... like what they did with Persona 4 Arena, which was a sequel to Persona 4, but it's a fighting game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it works for, like, after playing a 100-hour JRPG, you've rinsed that mechanic.
Yes.
And you are up for a change of format. Like, I don't think there's too many other formats or franchises where you could... Like, you couldn't do Hitman 4 and it's like, oh, it's a puzzle game now.
Right.
You know, but... Yeah.
Arguably, Hitman already was a puzzle game.
Ben's new theory that every game's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
You gotta walk around and solve puzzles.
The thing I don't like about it is that it's not unprovable.
Yeah.
You know?
It is.
It's neither unprovable or actually that insightful.
Right.
You know, every game's kind of got a story to it.
Well, the development of a game at least is a puzzle.
Absolutely.
You know, you
look at
how to fit all these different things together.
Trying to get that bloody cartridge in the machine. Yeah. How do you do that? Yeah. You boys are really up with
technology. But also, you know, every actual game's kind of a puzzle game.
Game doesn't work. They say take the cartridge out and blow on it. I'm like, what is this? The Cummies? The Cummy Awards?
That's sort of like a puzzle.
Hello?
Why you're not laughing more at that? That's a puzzle.
What I'm doing with my life? That's a puzzle. The fact that it's a complete change of format, I thought that might be weirdly to its detriment, although I've been playing the
Hyrule Warriors.
The Age of Calamity?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Right before it, so I was kind of in that world of that style of game that this is another version of. So I was, very ready for that same sort of thing with a different coat of paint on it. But it feels like the button inputs are different enough. It's got all that same DNA because it is basically the same company that have made it. But it still felt different enough. And it still has, I think, to a lot of people's surprise when it came out, it's got so much of the Persona other stuff in it. It's not just like the Zelda one is just maps and that's it. And then all the other stuff of upgrading your characters and stuff, that's just all happening in menus. But this has like overworlds that you walk around in. It doesn't have the social link stuff, but it has pretty much all of the other Persona stuff.
Yeah.
It's got new music. It's got a new story that's really cool that works as a nice little, you know, Joker comes back to town and they go on a little summer adventure and you drive around to these different little cities, like you leave Tokyo and yeah, just the way that the story unfolds and the different new places that it goes to and just being back with those characters again and all that stuff.
All voice acted it all by voice the same acted. People again and all of that.
Yeah. And
I think the story is it, right? Like, if the story was meh, which is sort of what I expected, it being a spin-off, then it would be not an interesting game to me at all. But it's
written by a different team and like made by completely different people is my understanding from the...
I think maybe the story stuff might be Atlus.
Okay.
I think it's in the same way I'm pretty sure that the Zelda team worked on... I think it's generally it's like...
Even in like an advisory role.
Tecmo or whatever, they do the engine and then... All that other stuff, I believe, is the parent company who owns the rights is generally how these things work. I could be wrong, but Atlus are in the credits and everything.
Yeah,
and it is so like consistent with how it all is in actual Persona 5.
I think that was weirdly the thing that meant I didn't get further through it because I was enjoying it too, but only got up to maybe the second. I can't remember, but. It had that same scale and that same requirement of you that Persona 5 did. That was the thing that made me drop it at some point because I was like, I don't have time for this right now necessarily.
Yeah. I think it's maybe half the length of Persona, which is still a very long game.
Yeah.
But that was surprising seeing it come out. And yeah, thinking it was just going to be a couple of hours like side thing and then going like, oh no, it's like a full whole other RPG with just... And then, yeah, the mechanics of the real-time combat takes a little while to get used to, but I find that style of game, those Warriors styles of games, very fun and very satisfying to get good at. And just having that change of pace.
Was definitely on a separate list that I had of things I wish I'd have played more of.
Well, this is a game that will definitely appear later in someone's list.
Okay.
My number eight.
I don't remember that game.
Ratchet and Clank, : Rift Apart. Shall we continue around the circle?
Rift Apart, also another category at the Cummies. I was so excited to get it out. Which is also another category at the Cummies.
But yes, Ratchet and Clank. I guess I'll just say my brief thoughts now.
Yeah.
It was a fantastically looking game. You know, well designed, well... optimized for the PS5, obviously, like a real visual showcase, and fun to play.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you have it in your list, Ben, and you don't, Adam, because I thought when we talked about it, you enjoyed it less than me and Adam.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It just didn't quite make it for me. We can talk about more of...
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Because I also really like this game. Yeah. It's not that I don't like it, it's why it isn't in there. It's because I liked 10 other games more.
In terms of my rankings, Maquette and Hitman are below it. But for a visual showcase with perfect third-person shooter platformer mechanics...
It felt like the first truly next-gen game.
Yes.
PS5 exclusive. Really took advantage of all the hardware. Yeah, not backwards compatible.
Yep.
But we'll talk about it more later. I also should say, I don't know if this is the case for you guys, but this 6 to 10 for me are largely interchangeable in terms of order.
I would say...
5 to 1 I'm a bit more married to the order of, but these are a bit, for me personally, my one is a bit, they could all kind of fit anyway.
Mine are definitive. Genuinely, yes.
A lot of my 10 could move around, but I think I'm happy with the order, including... my number eight.
Yep.
Which I'm not sure if it'll come up later, but my number eight is Halo Infinite.
You go for it.
Hell yeah.
We can leave the room, shut the door, come back in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know that this being the 20th year of me playing Halo games, I suppose, meant that its like return to form was really good to see. It feels so fucking good to play. Like the actual just core mechanics of how looking around, the weight of looking around, and the how much you batter someone with the guns feels correct. They've made all of that just feel good again, which was off for a while. The grappling hook is such a cool addition to the single player that I really changed up the gameplay in a fun way that also hadn't happened for a while. Mm-hmm. They've tried to use little tools and equipment and stuff, but they were never really that interesting. And the grappling hook, I think, like was one of the more satisfying ways to move around in a game in recent times. I enjoyed what they did with the story and stuff and like the drive of the single player campaign. I accept that that is a personal taste, which is why it is here. And then, yeah, I also really got into the multiplayer. I was enjoying it feeling like Halo 2 or 3 again. Like that's what they've done for me, is make a modern version of a game I liked more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
So that's why it hit harder for me than maybe for either of you guys.
Well, it feels like everyone who is a long-time Halo fan had this same response.
Yeah,
people are like, yeah, it's back to doing what we like out of the franchise. And I mean, we talked about this the other week and you seem to think that maybe they won't do that. But maybe now from here they can start to explore a little bit more and kind of push out. But they just had to course correct at this point
totally.
To get people back on board.
And I think that it's part of why it is good for someone who's been playing it for the Halo games for a while, is there's this satisfying sigh of relief with this game that you're not going to get if this is one of the first times you're playing Halo. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it's still, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm probably going to chip away at it over summer. Even as a newbie, it feels good. And you know, of course it does, because it's like going back to doing what they were doing originally. So you can definitely see why this felt so good to play 20 years ago and continues to feel good to play. It's just I'm finding it a fun, classic shooting game.
Yeah, the interaction of the different types of enemies and all the weapons are pretty good, and jumping in and out of a vehicle, like just that loop is there and back. And a lot of games have done it because they've been inspired by Halo since. So like, it is like Far Cry, and it is like those sorts of games that like are sort of what people expect of shooters now. And I do think this is doing it in a very good feeling way, but I can see that it isn't necessarily like something as fresh and new feeling, or as, I guess fresh isn't the right word, but you know, as relevant feeling when it's out of context of being what Halo is in my head.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
And for, yes, all the other fans who, which is why it's huge.
Just for me. But yeah, all the Halo people who were there. I watched that Xbox documentary that they put up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it just, how tied in Halo is to, if you ever had an Xbox for a decade of it, there is like, it's like Breath of the Wild. I feel like some people had a reaction to Breath of the Wild that was similar to this, where if you'd never played a Zelda game really, it seemed okay, yeah, cool. Or maybe Breath of the Wild isn't the right.
No, because, yeah, I'd never, and it was like, oh, this is the best game I've ever played.
Yeah.
Odyssey's probably.
I was going to say Mario Odyssey. Yeah, Mario has a great
such point, because I hadn't done one like that for a little while, and back to like the big worlds with lots of little stars to find in it. Yeah.
And I didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
Right. So it's perfect.
You get more out of it if you're into it, like Nutri-Grain. It's the Nutri-Grain of games.
Yeah.
You only get out where you
Diamond
play.
Yeah.
That's my number 8.
All right. Okay. Lucky All 7.
Right. My number 7, Death's Door.
Oh.
We will end up talking about that a bit later.
Okay.
So if you want to say what you think of it, be my guest.
No,
please. You've got
very
the
big of you,
Adam. I'm going to insist. Let's shag later.
we can shag. We can shag a bit later on.
Yeah.
Okay. My number 7. I don't think will be on your guys' lists any higher than this. Loop Hero.
I never got around to playing it, I don't think.
I should have probably had this in an honourable mention. I haven't played a ton of it, but it was it was, funnily enough, it was the first thing I downloaded on my PC, which was like, boy, I'm really not taking advantage of this beast that I've paid all this money for. But yeah, great. I didn't even realize that it had originally come out this year. It's been it's been kind of like talked about again, because it just came out on Switch like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
So I think over the course of the year, it's now come out on everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really great, and I got to sink some more time into it.
Really inventive way to play a game, to have a roguelike loop where the player just moves independently of you. You know, you're not there to hack and slash. You're there to place tiles, to upgrade armor, to pause it, to make decisions about when to give up and head back to camp.
Yep.
So you can use your resources or continue to try and get that boss and progress to the next phase. It's just, really, really well balanced. And the art style, and especially the music.
Yep.
That very retro 8-bit early 90s PC game just perfectly
executed. Yeah.
They did that cool thing that developers will sometimes do when they're announcing that it's coming to Switch. It was in a Direct or an Indie World or something,
right,
where they'd made a little trailer in engine, and it was like as if you were playing the game, and it was like the hero going, "Oh, what, we're going to Switch," you know,
right, of right,
that nature. Which I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." Like, it speaks to how strong the art style and the aesthetic is. That it's like,
yes,
rather than just have that like fucking drip voiceover guy that they use in all those Nintendo things. It's like, no, we'll do our own one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
we, you don't need to bring the guy.
A hero we'll just make who our own. Loops.
Yeah. Yeah, great
that's,
game.
That's a Devolver Digital distributed game as well. Yes. So, yes, it does have that sense of humor, and the aesthetic is super, super strong, which is a great thing about a lot of Devolver's games. But, yeah, that's my number seven.
I think with at least one more game that I'm predicting is on your list, I think this is the year that you started to like roguelike games.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Definitely, yep.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool, and I thank you for noticing.
A whole new world. It's number seven we're up to, right?
That is correct.
Cool. I think we'll talk about this more later, but in my number seven was Metroid Dread. Mm. Oh, Tommy's checking his phone.
We will talk about it later.
Okay.
My number six, Metroid Dread.
Okay. God, we had to wait a long time to get around to it, but now that we're finally here, do you guys want to talk about Metroid Dread? I haven't played it yet. I didn't get around to it. I was playing probably Loop Hero or some dumb game like that.
Yeah.
Another one from the file of, I think probably in that same Nintendo Direct that we were both a bit like, WarioWare, where we were like, this is a flat one.
Mm.
This just looks like a, I thought that the Emmy stuff looked lame. I thought
I did
it
too.
Seeing right. Metroid pop up and go, here we go. We're finally seeing a bit of Prime 4. And then it was a 2D one, felt like a consolation spin-off thing.
The visuals looked a little flat in that original thing. Yeah, I felt the same. And then it clearly we both felt the same when it came out that this game's fucking great.
It's really fucking good. Yeah, it's a solid, solid... it feels from the first like second of playing it, it feels so smooth to control.
Yeah.
And I hate using the term Metroidvania while talking about an actual Metroid game.
It's so weird, yeah.
But I've always loved that that loop of those games of find a door, can't get in there, fuck around a bit more, get a thing. It's so satisfying.
Having this be that original version of that type of game coming back, it feels like there are lots of good pop songs for years and years, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I guess everyone makes pop songs now, and everyone knows how to make a pop song. And then the Beatles magically come back and make a new pop song. You're like, oh, right. It should be way cleaner and simpler and more direct and put together and just like it's a really good, clean, pure version of that type of game.
Mm. Yeah, that absolutely added to my skepticism about it too when it was announced. Right. It was like, yeah, this style of game has become so oversaturated in the last few years since they last made a Metroid game. And how is it going to stack up? Because they will be making it, I assume, in a pretty old-fashioned way when, so much, most Western indies now are this style of game.
Yeah.
And exactly. It's like, nah, these guys are this is the GOAT for a reason. Like, you don't have to have all the other extra shit in there. Just have it be the classic pure stuff, but all muddled up in a different way.
Mm.
Just put the morph ball a bit later in and people will lose their fucking minds.
Fuck, dude, that's so cool. And then having the Emmy be in there was like the thing that we were most skeptical on was maybe the thing I enjoyed the most about it, that it added this really cool, creative kind of stealth element to it that genuinely felt tense. And was so satisfying when you overcame it.
Yep.
It was such a cool addition. It led to me buying the first amiibo that I've ever bought.
Yes.
I bought a little Samus and Emmy pack.
Yes, we saw them the other day.
Because I liked this game. I think it was my favorite Nintendo game of the year. So
I don't think there's a Nintendo game on my list.
Well.
Whoa.
But it really just nailed every bit of it. And it's not too long. It's like 10 hours, which is pretty standard for maybe even less than that. I think I finished in like 8.5 or something.
Yeah, but that's perfect length for this kind of thing.
Because the difficulty as well was so good for me. I've seen people say they thought it was too difficult, but I loved the exact spot where it was sitting.
It's really fucking hard in parts, but you yeah, you get up to some bosses and you just get wiped out immediately. And even when you're still not beating them, just that feeling of like you're getting a bit further every time, and then how much you've picked up about how to take on this enemy over the course of doing it, where all of a sudden you're like, I'm ducking, I'm weaving, you've worked out their the pattern thing, and everything. Yeah. Like by the end of it.
Sounds like a bit of a puzzle.
A lot of puzzles in this.
There are some puzzles.
There are puzzles, yeah.
Okay.
Aesthetic and tone and everything, all of it just so fucking good.
I think like you said, the controls are so good that was the thing for me is when it is difficult, but when you're locked in with the controls, which feel great, you're flying through this really cool, difficult boss fight that, like, yeah, I really enjoyed. And then, yeah, weirdly, a story that I enjoyed in it. Like, the way it did all of that stuff, and it looks great for a Switch game and all that.
This might have to be, like, a summer catch-up for me because it does look cool and it seems like one of the AAA games that did come out this year that I didn't get around to.
Yeah.
I feel like I should do my homework.
It was really fucking good.
It was a good-ass game.
I have a sneaking suspicion that my number six is going to appear higher up on maybe both of you guys' lists.
Okay.
Which is a shame for me to end this part.
We'll talk about it next week. Yeah, okay.
But we still have your sixth to go, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. My number six game of the year is Unpacking.
We will talk about that in a week.
Yep.
For me.
Fantastic indie game. Meditative, beautiful. One of the great puzzle games to come out this year. But we will talk more expansively next week.
Yes, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but
Unpacking, great game.
Unpacking is good. You know what? Sneak peek of my thoughts on it, good as well.
A bit of sizzle for next week.
Yeah.
All right, so Adam, number six.
Number six? Well, okay. Also, this game we'll definitely talk about next week.
Okay.
That's all right. We're having a good sizzle for next week.
Hey, you know what? We can come back around to it.
Mm.
That game being Deathloop. We'll loop back around to Deathloop. I'm assuming we will talk about that next
week. We certainly will.
Yeah. Deathloop, just quickly, is a very fun game. Very good use of the mechanic that it had. Surprisingly fun multiplayer. Very cool vibe.
You could even say it was your number six game of the year.
I don't know, Tommy. I don't want to go crazy over here.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up there for this week. We've sizzled a couple of things that are going to be brought up next week.
Yep. Don't bother sending in your favorite games of the year because we're recording next week.
That's
in
true.
An hour.
Right.
Maybe do though, and we'll talk about them in January.
Yeah,
because that'll be fun.
We missed. Yeah.
And it's such a cool year for this sort of stuff. Where like I feel like other years, there's you get a lot of Last of Us 2 or whatever. Yeah. There's a big game that is a thing, but it feels like even the like publications and stuff have had wildly different game of the year picks.
Yeah. So we will be back next week to go through our 5-1 picks. We will also be justifying how each and every one of them is in fact a puzzle game.
Yes. We will actually. We did do a Patreon poll in our Facebook group of our listeners, Patreon listeners, games of the year. So we'll read that out next week as well.
Yeah.
And podcast@filthycasuals.com.au is our email address too. Yes. You could send yours to there as well.
Absolutely.
Yep. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to the Patreon if you want to get an extra episode every week. And early access to our YouTube videos.
Yes.
You can find all those links on the website. Have a good Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, every filth.
Merry Christmas to each and every one of us.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Shadow Man, game of the year.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.